This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
And the second I land here, Kelly, I got to use chapstick on my bottom lip.
Huh?
Like clockwork.
No way.
Cut glass with it. Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin back together again.
That's right. Welcome back, man.
Thank you. Shout out to my mishpucha, Dustin Sweetelson, for a fantastic job. Matt Brown, yeah. Obviously, as well.
Yep.
Before that, are you losing more weight, man?
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Maybe a few pounds. Maybe have a sandwich.
Maybe a few pounds.
My mother would say, you're exaggerating now.
That was every time I ran into Sam Paniadovich this past week.
That's what he would say.
There were like three times we almost just literally ran into each other, like going around corners. He was like, my God, stop losing weight.
he's right in this case. He's right. By the way, I come back from every vacation as if I'm midway through a sentence like that. I was workshopping the bottom lip one, which is very true, by the way. Mm. 6 weeks, you don't have to use anything in California. Second you land here, you do.
Yep.
I was between that and I was going to be mid-sentence on, I don't hear you having to praise George Mike and Dolph Shays and Bob Cousy every other hour for creating that league. But I decided that would be too controversial. That's why I didn't bring it up. On the show today, Greg Peterson. Yes. Greg and I are supposed to go to Texas Roadhouse. And then when I brought that up, Kelly and the crew are like, we're coming too.
Yeah, for real.
So Greg Peterson with all his MLB picks on a shortened Monday, short-ish, 10 games, MLB card. By the way, 6 West Coast games tonight out of 10. That's odd. Mm. Don't see that every day. Wes Reynolds, his normal Monday appearance, golf, college football, and Adam Burke with the Guardians finally dropping. It only took a year and 2/3 for that to happen. They're, 4 games under 500? There's still time. But I have a pre-flop season win total under on them. All of that on the show today. We'll talk about most wins in Major League Baseball, fewest wins. We'll talk also about just a awards heat check in Major League Baseball. Kelly, why don't we start with August most wins?
Let's do it,
man. Why don't we do that?
What a run this has been.
On the heels of, I don't know if you guys know this, but we hit the Red Sox 80-1 in July. Has that ever been brought up on the show before?
It came up like once, I think, okay. Yeah. Maybe twice.
No. I did come on the show. You guys were kind enough to invite me for a segment while I was gone and to give my August most wins play, and that was on the Detroit Tigers at 60-1. And it has started out quite nicely. They're 6-2 to begin the month of August. Tigers are now 15-1 to win the month of August, for those who want to jump in on that now. The only two teams that have more wins currently, the 7-1 Rays, didn't see that coming, and the 7-2 Cubbies, which I did see coming. If you recall, I had them as my second choice behind the Tigers. Yep. By the way, that's the other thing about July I didn't bring up. As great as the Red Sox 80-1 was, I also hit 1-2-3. I hit the trifecta of...
Oh, those were your three choices?
Red Sox first, Brewers second, Braves third.
You know what? I knew that about the Brewers. I knew they were up there. I didn't think about what all three of them were.
Can you imagine what that would have paid out?
Yeah. And look, man, me and you might be up against it this year because this month, I took the Cubs into last week. Remember we were talking about when you jumped on and I was like, I think this is the team like where if you get through those first couple series, Dodgers, Yankees, the schedule gets a lot lighter. So I've got like an 8-1, not nearly as fun as your ticket.
Nice, but that's still, I mean, Cubbies are, again, I had them in June. They went 16-10, were not for the Marlins. That would have been in play. Cubbies playing great baseball. The thing that I'm...
What a race, though, this is, right? Like, this is like the best teams in baseball.
Look at the very bottom, though. Dead last, 30th place, month of August, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who break a 7-game losing streak with a win yesterday. 1-7 now, early on the season. They're 90-1, by the way, if you want to get in on the Dodgers for the month of August. I would suggest not doing that. By the way, do you know the last World Series champion? Trivia question.
Okay.
Last World Series champion that had a 7-game losing streak during the regular season, but still went on to win the World Series.
The Giants.
No.
I don't know.
Try to guess again. The 2025 Los Angeles Dodgers, who lost 7 games in a row before the All-Star break last year, before going on to win the World Series.
Yeah, they had their stumbles. But that was before the All-Star break.
It's right before the All-Star break. Yeah. Right. So they lose 7 in a row here, obviously later, now in August. see if the Dodgers come back, still win the World Series. That's all they care about. That's all they care about.
I did enjoy them being, I was looking at these odds this morning, so they're 90-1. Also 90-1 to finish most wins for the month are the Angels, the White Sox, the A's, and then you have four other teams that are still longer than that.
Yeah. That's how much respect the Dodgers get.
That's how much respect the Dodgers
yeah,
get.
At 1-7. The last thing on this that I just want to say is, again, for, you know, what's the difference between VSiN and sort of mainstream shows? They're all reactive, right? They're showing highlights. It's reactive. And we try to be proactive. That's why we're here as a network. And so even in this, what is it, August 10th now, Kelly? Even in 10 days' time, when you hear people talking about the Detroit Tigers now, all you hear from people is what was outlandish by us 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. Which is 10 days ago, I was like, they're going to trade Skubal, and they're still going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you talking about? They got rid of Skubal and Mize, right? And now everybody who talks about the Tigers is like, oh, clearly they're going for it. They're one game out in the wild card. They're 3.5 out of the division. It's like, okay. And that's the difference between VSiN and the rest.
If you were ever to hit two in a row, I would really hope it'd be these two. Because the Red Sox 80-1 with all the CLV you got was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, like, do you have any tweets and stuff I got off to the side that were like he knows, right? Like, he's aware. Right?
Oh,
like,
I got it.
Yeah, we know he's aware. He talked about that Skubal is probably going to be gone, and he's still betting this. He likes the reasons besides that.
I got a tweet. Someone tweeted that at me. Like, seriously, right, like, do you know that Skubal got I go, that can't be.
There was just, like, serious concern from people that I was getting over that from you.
But can we pour one out for the Red Sox? Before they lose this series, these last two games to the Athletics, the Red Sox won 27 out of 30 baseball games.
It was incredible, man. It was incredible. Dustin and I were on top of it, like, all last week. Like, the number of, like, series sweeps against, like, teams with
the
winning
Dodgers.
Records yeah. and teams that were in first place. And it was an amazing run.
Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. The other thing that I'm sure you and Dustin and Matt talked about extensively, obviously the Hall of Fame game is now already in the rear view. We have the 3-week preseason right in front of us. Then there'll be a week off. Then it's the regular season. We start things for real.
Let's go, baby. Come on.
But, you know, again, this is just, I'm sure you guys talked about it, but I wanted to come in and just say it up front, and then we can obviously move on, which is you will, again, read on Twitter, some who even worked at this network in the past, right? Who are like, oh, anybody who bets preseason football is a degenerate. Can we stop with that already? Can we stop with that already? Now, you are perfectly okay saying you don't want to bet it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you don't have the time, if you don't have the interest.
It's like
fine.
A different sport.
That's fine.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that. But please don't then conflate that with, and you all are ridiculous for doing so. Because nothing is like preseason football in terms of line movement. You will never see this in the regular season. And I want to repeat something. I want to give a shout out to our buddy Drew Dinsick. You see Drew, you saw Drew over at Bet Bash. Everybody seemed to have a great time at Bet Bash, by the way.
Saw Drew many times.
Sorry I missed that. Drew, who did a great tennis seminar as well, Drew said this last year. This was going into last preseason. And I want to just sort of focus on this big sort of macro stat to let people know just how profitable preseason could be. Because you know, right, with -110 sports, with that kind of vig, whether it's basketball, football, or whatever, got to hit 52.4% to break even. Well, preseason, Drew did an 1,100 preseason game sample size. Do you remember this going into last preseason? So the last 1,100 preseason games before that.
I do not remember this. Okay.
447 of which moved 1 point or more.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we're talking about moves of 1 point or more. If you get ahead of it, remember, preseason football is an information game. Are you a better Googler? Are you a better information gatherer, quicker, I should say, than the sports books themselves, than the markets? And if you get ahead of the ones that move 1 point or more, again, a 447 game sample size of those games that did, your ATS hit rate, 65%. So if you get ahead of movements in these lines, major movements of 1 point or greater, you will hit at a 65% ATS rate. Now, here's where the Steve Fezziks of the world will have their heads explode off their bodies, but the data supports this as well. I would never recommend this in any other sports betting endeavor ever, right? And I'm not recommending it here either, but I'm just using this data to support a point. which is, let's say you don't get ahead of those line moves of the games that moved 1 point or greater. Remember, it's 65% if you get ahead of those line movements. Let's say you didn't bet them until you saw the line move a point or more. Again, don't ever do this in any other sport, even in this sport at other times, but in the preseason, you could do this. If you were at the end of the steam of the ones that move 1 point or greater, guess what your hit rate is?
58%?
Bingo.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I remember it being sick.
So again, there's no other situation in sports betting where I'd recommend that. And again, don't clip out just the little part because it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But that's just to let you know that this is its own animal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, we got six games on Thursday to kick off week one.
Oh, I got bets, baby.
I will get to Kelly's bets in a little bit on these. And there's other things, right, that we've done through the years. But that's the biggest thing you should know. But obviously, the three-team 10-point teasers where we take these low totals and drop them down 10 points, those are rarer in terms of their availability than ever before. I know you could do them with some offshore pillars. I don't know any legal shops that allow you to do that still. Do they?
I'll check on the break.
Yeah, we'll check. That's obviously a move. You knock them down to 26, 27 and a half, that kind of thing. 3.10 teamers. But again, it's a 3-week preseason. It used to be four, and I would always have that great trend. Dr. Bob was famous for this trend, which is a team that lost in week one of the preseason versus a team that won in week one heading into week two. It was just that simple. You bet on the team that lost in week one against the spread in week two against the team that had won in week one. But those don't exist anymore because now with a 3-week arc, teams play the entire schedule of preseason differently from one team to the next. Used to be very uniform. Week three is the big one. Week four, we're sitting everybody. Not like that anymore. Coming back, more NFL next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros, sharpplays.com. Check it out. Scan the QR code there on your screen for more. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets. Beating the book, James Fraction, our buddy from Maryland. Merlin, as we said. He said, finally, Gil is back in the hizzy. Do you have any Canadian tennis match or U.S. Open futures investments that you would recommend without the NFL? I need something to nibble on now. I have no tennis for the first time in 6 weeks.
I was going to say, you were firing while you were out.
Oh, man, the whole time. Great July.
Actually, you were just reading that tweet, and I was like, did we screw up at the beginning of the show?
No. Great July in tennis. This tournament, I have given back some. It has not been fun.
What are we calling the tournament? This confuses me every year because we send the women to where? Montreal and the men to Toronto?
They switch it every year. So this year, the women are in Toronto and the men are in Montreal.
But I didn't even know that.
Now they call it the National Bank Open. It's whoever the sponsor is, right? They always switch with tennis tournaments. Anyway, today is you got two women's matches, two men's matches. We're in the quarters, and there was nothing bettable to me. Biggest match on the men's side, of course, is Fils versus Hodar, Artur Fils, Rafael Hodar. Man, good luck deciding who wins that one or picking who wins that battle of two great young tennis players. And then on the ladies' side, Iga set up nicely now with no Sabalenka. She's trying to win another 1,000. She's won double digits worth of them in her career, so we'll see if she can get it done. She takes on Deanna Schneider, but I think all the lines are where they should be today.
U.S. Open futures, next segment. Stick around.
Rick Olier, Gilly walking back into VSiN studios like Agamemnon entering Troy. Football season must be near. I don't know that reference because I didn't see Odyssey, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah, man. King Agamemnon of,
King what?
Agamemnon.
Agamemnon.
I forget from which Greek state? Do we have states in Greece? What were they called back then?
I think we might have back in the day. Yeah.
Think so.
Yeah.
City-state?
Sparta was a city-state. That's right. Good job,
Thank
Kelly.
You. Thank you.
Chris Heath just tried the preseason 10-point teaser at my far and away, and it's not taking them this season. That's the thing. Those three-team 10-point teasers, man, they are like going the way of
oh yeah, I forgot to check
the Edsel.
I made one six point on the preseason lines this week.
Bookmaker still has them available.
10?
Yep. -130, though, I believe. Jeff Levine. Gil, what are the start and end points of the 1 point plus system? Not sure what you mean by that. John Balducci. I don't know what happened over the weekend, but Dustin is not aging well. Thank you very little.
Thank you very little.
Gibby, I attended the ITF Women's Tournament in Landisville, Pennsylvania this past weekend and learned a valuable lesson.
Nice.
Betting against a woman that is clearly injured and tired doesn't matter if the woman you bet on is bad at tennis. Very, very true. Absolutely true. And iHeart SEC Podcast. I want to personally thank you for the Boston Red Sox most wins in July. He got 30-1, one step closer to taking care of my podcast traveling budget. How about that? iHeart SEC Podcast is going to take a podcast traveling budget.
There you go.
With the Boston Red Sox seed. Ladies and gentlemen, he and I have a date. No date confirmed, but we have a standing
mandate
promise to go to Texas Roadhouse together. And then as soon as I brought that up, Kelly and the crew are like, we're coming too. Guess who's paying for that one? Yeah, daddy's paying for that one. Greg Peterson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. What's happening, Greg?
If you say Texas Roadhouse, I'm free. You know I'm there.
That's right. Let's go.
Hey, I'll pay for Texas Roadhouse if you cover every other future meal.
No deal. No deal. Nice try, though. Almost snuck it by me. Greg, how's it going? Dating life is good? All good with your personal life? Yes?
Yep. Things are great. As a matter of fact, went to Texas Roadhouse last night myself, so that was very good, and... of course, glad to have you back, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. We'll dive deeper into Greg's life on future shows, but we have to get into a five-pack of plays. Let's start with the Mets and the Braves today, Greg. Braves playing good baseball. The Mets, oddly, playing good baseball as well. We'll talk about fewest wins a little later on in the show. They're a candidate for that. You've got a total play in this one.
Yeah, with the Mets. Averaging 5.2 runs per game in their 15 games without Juan Soto. That's not something I've necessarily saw coming. And now they get a guy in Bryce Elder who's looked elderly recently. He's posting up overall for the season like a 3.65 ERA. Fielding independent is going much higher, giving up 1.4 home runs per nine innings. For the Mets, as you know, they traded away pretty much their entire bullpen at the trade deadline. Now, Christian Scott been very good with the 11 strikeouts per nine innings, but he does rack up quite a few walks with about 4 walks per 9 innings. Atlanta Braves, top 5 team in terms of run creation at home. So I do think that you're going to get a lot of run production in this game. Right now, seeing 8 to 8.5, even at an 8.5, I'd be willing to take a shot on the over. I did take plus money on the Mets on the money line. They've been playing much better baseball since the trade deadline.
Phillies and Cardinals, another matchup today. Again, very strange schedule. We got 10 games. 6 are West Coast late games. This one is at Busch, though, between the Phillies and the Cardinals. Phillies still have designs on, the NL East may be fading away. 8.5 out now. Certainly still have designs on the playoffs. St. Louis, for that matter, still has designs on sneaking in as a wild card. This is a pretty closely lined game. Phillies are -118. How are you playing this?
Yeah, but I'm going to take the home underdog here with the St. Louis Cardinals. Oddly enough, both of these teams have terrible offensive splits in this game. For the Phillies, last in the National League in terms of run creation away from them. Cardinals are actually in the bottom two in terms of run creation at home among National League teams, but I trust it under Dobbins a little bit more. About a 3.60 ERA, fielding depends a little bit higher than that in the 4 range, but he's been able to get 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, right around 3 walks per 9, and for Andrew Painter, while he had a nice start last time out, man, it's not been good for him. Well above a 6 ERA. Backed up by a bullpen that's been very shaky for the Phillies. They also had to go to 11 innings yesterday against the Blue Jays as well. So a little bit more bullpen use than what you were expecting there with Painter giving up over 1.7 home runs per 9 innings, not having a lot of command. I think that this is a good spot for the Cardinals being home underdogs. Took them on the money line.
Cardinals 3.5 out of the wild card, the third wild card in the National League. Tampa Bay Rays going to Sacktown to take on the Athletics. The Rays leading August with a 7-1 record in this month. The Athletics take the 27-3 Red Sox and say, that's enough of that. And they win 2 in a row at Fenway, win that series. The Athletics are +139 as a home dog here.
Yeah, and for the Athletics, they've had 9 wins, and if Matt serves me correct, 33 losses in their last 43 games. Not good, to say the least. And you want to know who's not been good at their job recently? Freddie Peralta, in his last 8 starts, 34 and a third innings, he has allowed 40 runs. 40! That's not good. And somehow, some way, you want to hear something even worse? Since June 1st, the Athletics bullpen has a combined ERA of 6.83.
Is that good?
We've right now got a total between 9.5 and 10. It's just not high enough. Like, for Freddie Peralta, great name. He's performing horribly. The Athletics have nobody trustworthy. Jacob Lopez went from 11 strikeouts per 9 innings last year down to 8 this year. I think we get a lot of runs. I think they're flowing like wine out there in Sacramento. Give me the over. I took the Rays on the run line at a slugfest.
By the way, shout out to Jacob Wilson, though, of the Athletics.
Yeah.
I think this went under the radar, pardon me, for a lot of people. Set an MLB record playing his 111th consecutive errorless game at shortstop, surpassing Mike Bordick, formerly of the Orioles, who went 110 games in a row in 2002. Wilson last made an error on July 6, 2025 in a game against the Giants. Hope we're not jinxing him there. But that's that's amazing at short. Speaking of the Giants, the bad news bears in breaking training. My God, are they a dismal defensive team to watch now post-trade deadline. They're +137 home dogs against the Astros today.
Yeah, and I had the Giants yesterday. Them leaving the bases loaded in the 8th inning was not great, but I do think that they bounce back here. The Astros coming off of Sunday Night Baseball love fading these teams coming off of Sunday Night Baseball that they have to travel on. Hayne Wesneski, since joining the Astros, north of a 4.25 ERA, giving up about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. And Blade Tidwell actually looks promising. It's a small sample size, but in 17 innings at the big league level, he's only given up 1 home run. He's given up less than 5 walks in that time span. Looked pretty good, solid in the PCL, where it's hard to have an ERA below a 5. Was posting up more around a 4.32 for the Giants. They were able to save a lot of that bullpen with Logan Webb going deep, so took plus money on the Giants on the money line.
All right, and then the Royals, the floundering Dodgers, who break their 7-game losing streak. Dodgers are a $3 favorite, though, against the Royals, who are not having a season.
Yeah, this did not make the write-ups, but I did take plus money on the Royals. Noah Cameron's actually been really good recently, and for the Royals, they've got Bobby Witt Jr. back. For the Dodgers, this continues to be a top-5 offense in terms of run creation, and the Royals offenses, or the Royals bullpen, is royally bad. Second worst in terms of bullpen ERA. 7.5, just a little bit too low of a total, even with Drake Scoobal out there on the bump. Took the over, and you know what? For a lottery ticket, I took the Royals on the money line myself.
There you go. Greg Peterson's Fab 5. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. The great Greg Peterson. Greg, we'll figure out a date, and we'll do this. Texas Roadhouse. Can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait either. You're going to love it.
Greg said it's going to change my life. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Country clubbing, maybe a little more NFL. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about our VSiN Pro intro offer. You can sign up now for as little as $9.99. That is $9.99. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to tools and data. All you have to do is go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, you sign up for VSiN Pro today. You get both our NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. Start today for just $9.99. You get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. Today. Do it now. Why today? Do it now. What's the harm?
Mm-hmm.
This is from, let's say, we get tweets on beating the book. Montreal Max, great having you back, Gil, and after being out last night here watching my girl Belinda Bencic play Alex Ayala with the crowd 95% cheering on Ayala, it was nice for Belinda to give a shout to us in that crowd yelling out Belinda multiple times. What he's referring to is, I've talked about this before, Alexander Ayala is maybe the greatest thing to happen to women's tennis, in my opinion, in the last few years, because she has unlocked not only a massive Filipina tennis-loving audience, but also young people drawn to women's tennis. And it is just this unbelievable rock star kind of thing. She won her first 500 in D.C., beating Jessie Pegula in the finals last week.
All that.
And Montreal Max was apparently at the tournament in Toronto. And Belinda Bencic shouting out those that actually dared root for Bencic. We had Bencic last night for subscribers. Chris of St. Bart's, fire any CFB futures yet? I have not. You, Kelly, have you any college football futures yet?
That is a great question, Gil. Do I? Because if I have, I don't remember. No, I have not. I have not.
Hmm. Colin Murphy. See if Wes Reynolds has coming up. Colin Murphy, welcome back, Gil. Kelly, I always thought a yeoman's. A fast food connoisseur loves playing golf in extreme heat. Night owl who hates broccoli. we're on to our joke. 3Jack H3131. 3Jacques. Welcome back, Gil. Kelly and friends did an amazing job holding the fort down while you were out. Now let's talk Survivor. Talk me out of taking the Raiders in week one. Oh, we got to do our Survivor segment. Survivor tenants. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, we've got Cleve T.A. will be on the show tomorrow.
Cleve T.A. tomorrow, baby.
I think that's going to lead us into some Survivor talk. So, yeah, I think we'll do that tomorrow.
Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties, said, Rams got it right. Minimize the chances of running into a poisonous snake. Australia is terrifying.
Oh, God. Yeah, that too.
Michael H., BBC article on their app right now says that jet lag is worse going east than west. I'm telling you, man, I don't agree with that.
I'm one of those people, by the way, who feel like I never get jet lag until that time I get jet lagged.
Oh, no, maybe I do agree with that, because when I came back this way, it was just impossible to reacclimate.
Yeah.
Gordon Dye, big mistake by the Rams. He says, just got back from the Philippines. The jet lag and time zone difference is real. I haven't solved it yet, even after several visits. Forget about a good night's sleep when you arrive. Brian M., the Niners are in trouble week two at home against, checks notes, Miami. Never mind, week two bye for the Niners. Yeah, that's true. There is that to consider. Primetime Leon Sanders, yo, man. That does, but the spread is where that will matter. Yo, man, kudos to Country Club and K. Michael Billen for efforting and delivering on some great NFL guests while you were away slacking. All of America, including Dave Ross, and thankful to Kelly. Maybe Aikman or Gil's favorite color guy, Romo, could join the show. He's available. Oh, did you have an ex-cowboy on the show?
Oh, that was, first of all credit to Dustin. But yeah, we had on Friday, Bobby Carpenter, okay, famous Ohio State linebacker.
You had former Washington Capitol Bobby Carpenter on?
Who also ended up playing for the Dallas Cowboys, you remember, for a while,
yes,
right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And then one segment after him, Daryl Moose Johnson. So I was like, Dustin, we got to get like Aikman or Emmett and
sully the show some more.
That's right. I was like, we got to get one more and just like really run the, like, of course, Dave Ross was losing it. He was not having it.
We have a million time zone tweets to get to. We will get to them. But Wes Reynolds is kind enough to join us as he does each and every Monday, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Wes, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Are you guys saying that Tony Romo is going to be available soon?
He might.
Yes.
To appear on a numbers game.
I think he might be, yeah.
What is your instinct on that, Tony? Tony. Wes, not to get too inside broadcasting, but if you had to bet on such a thing, if you were a betting man, do you think Romo is back on the broadcast this year or no?
Man, that's about 50-50, because they do have somebody in the pipeline. Of course, they're at CBS. They have J.J. Watt, mm-hmm. who is on the number two team with the great Ian Eagle. So they have somebody, I think, ready to go if they need to do that. And we see these personnel changes all the time, the guys that go into the studio, that go into the booth. And I thought J.J. Watt did a really nice job of that last year in the games that I watched. Because, look, we're usually watching Red Zone, or maybe you're paying attention to one game. But of the games I watched, I thought J.J. Watt was actually excellent. And, you know, he seems to be a likable guy and obviously very popular and soon to be a Hall of Famer. So they have somebody ready to go if Tony Romo and CBS don't work it out.
Do you have a NFL thought or bet or just an overall opinion on something that you feel is counter to conventional wisdom, Wes, that you believe this offseason that you haven't heard many others sort of be on board with? Or is there one being bandied about that you just can't get with, that you've heard a lot?
Well, I'll go to the NFC, and in terms of the NFC South, which is kind of like Wheel of Fortune, I think, you know, where it stops is who you pick to win the division, because I don't think you have really one standout team. So I think it might be Carolina again. I look at everybody and there's questions there. New Orleans is a clear rebuild, I think, with the second year staff and a young quarterback. I still think that they're rebuilding. So I don't want to say that they can't win it, but they're probably the least likely. Atlanta, who's going to play quarterback? Is it going to be Michael Penix Jr.? Is it going to be Tua? You know, so it kind of feels like they're unsure of themselves. And then Tampa Bay, you wonder if they've kind of hit their peak a little bit. Like they're an older roster, even though Baker has improved his numbers both years. So as much as I'm not a believer, really a true believer in Bryce Young, he has shown some progress, but I think that there's a ceiling there with him. I still think it might be Carolina again, kind of by default in that division.
Every time Bryce Young comes up on this show, I am contractually obligated to say, Kelly, what do you think about Bryce Young?
I got no idea, Gil. He's small. That's what I know. I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's bad. I like betting against him, though.
Jury's still out on Bryce Young, Wes, according to Kelly. Okay, what about the tweet that we just had earlier? Because Kelly and I balked at it, which is, do you have any college football futures? And I said I would ask you, do you have any college football futures?
A few, and then I'm kind of looking at the season win total markets because there's still some variance out there. It's going to get tighter as we get closer and closer to the season where you can lay some heavier juice on a bigger number, like if you like an under 5.5 instead of, you know, playing under 4.5. But I have a few. One I do like because it's like, okay, how is this playoff going to shake out? Is it going to be very similar to last year? And it probably is with all the big conferences dominating where you have 12 spots. Say Notre Dame is going to make it because I think that they probably are this year. And then you have a G6, you have an ACC champ and a Big 12 champ. So that leaves you 4 Big 10 teams and 4 SEC teams, more than likely taking 8 of the 12 spots. So if you look at the top 3 in the Big 10, the consensus top 3 in whatever order you look at is Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. At some point, Indiana certainly has the schedule again to win 10, 11 games. So who's going to be that fourth team? The second tier, there's probably 3 candidates. There's Michigan, there's USC, and there's Penn State. I think it might be Penn State, and I took them plus 450 to make the college football playoff. Even though you look, it's a whole new team, right? James Franklin got fired midseason. They end up with Matt Campbell from Iowa State, who was not the first choice for the job. And he brings in 24 guys with him from Iowa State, and I think 40 overall transfers and most of his staff. The schedule for Penn State, they avoid the Big 3, guys. Like, they don't play Ohio State. They don't play Oregon. They don't play Indiana. They do have to go to Michigan. But Michigan's got a first-year head coach in Kyle Whittingham, so they've got plenty of transition. So I thought Penn State, with an experienced group that went 11-2 at Iowa State, by the way, went to the Big 12 title game, assuming Rocco Becht is healthy, and I think he's going to be, even though he got held out for the spring and just did 7-on-7 with that labrum surgery in the offseason. I think Penn State is a team that you certainly want to look at. They don't really dazzle you right away, but that schedule is just no real challenges in the non-conference, and you get kind of the back end of the league in terms of the layout of it.
Wasn't going to ask about them, but since you alluded to them, Indiana, your Hoosiers, because you went there, defending national champions, but obviously the NFL came calling. But you legitimately think, and the betting market, by the way, they're the 6th shot to win the whole thing again at 9-1 here pre-flop. You think, even post-Mendoza here and others, that they, because of that schedule, legitimately will get to the playoff and then, I guess, have a fighting chance at that point?
I do, Gil, and I think there's just roster continuity there, and I'm not going to doubt Kurt Cignetti, who's now 27-2 in 2 years there in Bloomington, and you have Josh Hoover coming in from TCU, who is certainly a productive quarterback, got to get the turnovers down, might have the best offensive line in college football with all the starters back, and defensive line. They got 2 guys that were starters last year that they thought were going to be out of eligibility, and now Stephen Daly and Kellen Wyatt are back. I think it's another good run for Indiana. Kurt Cignetti's building a monster there.
I don't know. They got Howard week 2, though.
Watch
that's
out.
That's always tough. Howard. Love Howard University, especially on a Friday afternoon. More with Wes, baseball and golf next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
The Sports Betting Network.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Kelly, but football is back. And some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for the VSiN Pro subscription today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. You get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Have you signed up for a contest yet, Kelly?
Nope, not at all. Probably do that a couple days before they start. Yep.
Yeah. I have to remind myself to do that as well.
I remember us having the same conversation last year. Like, yeah. Gil would check in with me every other day until like 2 days before the NFL season. Like, yeah.
I don't know if it was every other day, but yeah.
It's pretty convenient for us. We can get to it at any time.
I sort of have to remind myself more now.
No, don't get me wrong. We always hit a point in the summer, like a point in August too, where I'm like, why haven't I signed up for these yet? Like at the same time, it is right behind you. You can do it at any time.
Well, I'll do 1 million. And I don't know how many Survivor.
I haven't really decided yet.
The whole everybody having, you know, a million entries at this point. I mean, I know this has always been the case that people have had more than 10, but it's gotten to the point now where I'm just like, okay.
Oh, it's become chaos. I will be at least 3, no more than 6 or 7.
I don't know if this gentleman enters either contest, but he is the glue that holds this whole operation together. It's Adam Burke joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Good morning, Adam, sir.
Hey, what's happening, boys? How are we doing?
We're doing well. How are you doing? Are you a contest player? I can't remember.
Burster's
in. Yes. You got deep in Survivor.
Yeah, I think it was 2023 with my partner Mark Goldberg, Spooky Express. I mean, the guy's a legend around Circa at this point now, just because he knows everybody, will talk to everybody. He also has like a lifetime VSiN Pro subscription. So shout out to Mark, who everyone knows as Spooky. Couldn't catch up with him last week, was dealing with some family stuff back home in Cleveland. But I know he's signed up, and I'll talk to him about, you know, getting myself cut in there.
Lifetime VSiN subscription. You know you could get those? Lifetime
VSiN. Oh, I know. That's a flex. It's a flex.
Remember TiVo? You used to be able to get a like lifetime TiVo.
Mark's always usually got a pen or something for you, too. Yeah. Incredible branding by him. Yep.
True. Hey, Adam, listen, I still owe you dinner from that Guardians bet from last year, but I...
How does Texas Roadhouse sound?
How does Texas Roadhouse... But I know you're aware of this. The Guardians, for the first time all year, fell to 2 games under .500... 3 games under .500 and out of 4 games under .500. So it only took a year and 2/3 because I have them under the season win total again this year. But finally, it's sort of being commensurate with their run differential. And this is happening with their star in the lineup, Jose Ramirez. How do you feel about the team's chances right now?
Yeah, you know what? I wish people could see the text chain that I have with VSiN by the Books host Jensen Lewis, who, of course, pitched for the Indians on the 2010s.
Yeah.
We are so incredibly harsh about this team, but it's warranted. I mean, they're not a good baseball team. You know, I mean, Gavin Williams is maybe kind of taking the next step this year, and I would have probably let him try to get through the sixth inning yesterday or Saturday, whatever day that was, but the bullpen's not very good. The lineup is still terrible. Jose Ramirez came back way too early. You know, they've been keeping him out due to hand soreness. The bat speed is down. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of power there. And look, that is something that happens after a hamate bone injury. You know, he wanted to rush back because he's very well aware of the situation, that the offense outright sucks without him. But he came back too soon. And, you know, now he's just not the player that we would expect him to be. And look, I give them credit. They're actually bringing up some guys from the minor leagues, hoping to spark this team. Made a couple of nice platoon-oriented trades, but there's just too many black holes in that lineup, and the bullpen, you know, has no idea what a shutdown inning is. So they're a bad baseball team, and that's a really, really bad division again.
Yeah. By the way, I said 4 games under .500. I apologize. It's only 3 games under .500. I sold them long there. Okay.
It might be 4 tomorrow.
Every time they lose, by the way, I send a text to the group chat. Die, Guardians, die, finally. Sorry, Adam. Okay. To the slate of games today, every baseball guest we've had on today has had a play in the Mets-Braves game. You have one or two as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to call this a stepladder, just because it's just a couple steps of a ladder here. Mets over 3.5, Mets team total over 3.5 and over 4.5. So -130 on the over 3.5, +130 on the 4.5. I want to go against Bryce Elder here. You know, I mean, I realize that the Mets, they're a different offense without Juan Soto, who is a top 10 player in the league and objectively, you know, maybe a top 5 offensive player in the league. And Bryce Elder is just not a guy that I'm really buying a whole lot of stock in. And the Mets have been swinging the bats well here in the month of August, despite not having Soto. But Elder in his 4 starts since the All-Star break, 1.88 ERA. That's cool. Good for him. 4.33 expected ERA. FIP over 5. Left on base percentage, 98%. BABIP 161. Like, this is not sustainable at all whatsoever for him. Now he's facing a lineup that sees him very frequently. They have the book on him. They know what to expect. And also Bryce Elder, last 2 starts, the velo has been down a little bit too. So I'm looking for the Mets to do some things offensively here. Warm, humid night in Atlanta, as most of them are in the summertime. So a little stepladder here. Mets team total over 3.5 and also over 4.5.
I like it. Adam giving his precise reasoning as to why as well. Braves are hosting the Metropolitans, that's the one we just talked about. Pardon me. Phillies and the Cardinals, I should say, because this is another play that we... it's a game that we seized on earlier with other baseball guests. You have a play, Phillies Cardinals, today at Busch.
Yeah, so I want to preface this by saying I don't know how the Phillies are going to figure this thing out late in the game. Yoan Duran and Orion Kekering have both worked 4 of the last 5 days, so back-to-backs for them. They'd be pitching a third day in a row 5 times in 6 days. I don't think Don Mattingly is going to do that. And a lot of their other relievers are, you know, 4-6, 3-5, back-to-backs, stuff like that. So I don't know how the back end of this game goes for the Phillies. But I am playing the first 5 here with the Phillies. That's about 10 cents higher than the full game number. You know, minus 115 for the full game, minus 125 for the first 5. But I'm buying Andrew Painter here. And I'm a little bit worried because he did leave his last start with a sore hamstring. But the stuff was really, really good against the Nationals. 17.5% swinging strike rate, 38% chase rate, only 1 hard hit ball. They made some adjustments with him in the minor leagues. They changed the shape of his sweeper. It's got more horizontal movement to it now. And also his splitter is kind of more of a split change. And it was a really, really effective pitch in those 4 innings against the Nationals. They moved him on the rubber a little bit more toward the third base side, something that they worked on, a little bit of a tweak. And remember, this is a guy who missed all of 2023, all of 2024, had an ERA of like 5.26 in the minors last year. I don't think that he was ready for opening day, but I think he's learning on the job now, and they've made some really positive adjustments. I like Hunter Dobbins, who gets to start here for the Cardinals, but I like Painter more, and I like this Phillies offense more. So I took the Phillies for the first 5 in this one, and they may win the full game. But again, their bullpen usage, very concerning, and something you want to look at all the time in baseball, but especially here in the dog days of summer.
My 2 pre-flop season win totals was Guardians under 80.5 and Rangers over 83.5. And the Rangers, super frustrating. They are a 500 team, still trying to get in the playoffs either by division or by wild card, though. You are on the Rangers today.
Yeah, I like the Rangers here today. This is kind of a fate of Reed Detmers. I imagine he was kind of disappointed to not get traded out of this organization, because if he went somewhere else, he'd probably be a top 25 pitcher in whichever league he was in. I mean, the stuff is so good, so much swing and miss upside, but the Angels just don't develop pitching talent. I mean, they haven't done it for a very, very long time. It's hard to think of the last homegrown ace-level pitcher that they've actually developed there. So Detmers kind of regressing back to what he's been like. You know, you look over his last 8 starts here, ERA over 5, expected ERA over 5, FIP around 5, 20% home run to fly ball percentage, just giving up a ton of hard contact here. And the Angels offense, very bad against lefties of late. Joe Adell, of course, traded to Cleveland. He was their best hitter in that platoon split against Southpaws. They have a strikeout percentage of over 30% here in the month of August. I think it's a good spot for Mackenzie Gore, who's coming off the paternity list. Rangers bullpen well-rested. All their leverage guys are in good shape. I guess a pretty cheap price to back the road Rangers here in that minus 110, minus 115 range.
Adam, before you go, Kelly and I were talking about this a couple segments ago. Your Cleveland Browns, who do you want to be the starting quarterback week 1, and who will be the starting quarterback week 1?
God, I mean, I would settle for Charlie Fry or somebody at this point. I hope it's Shadur. I root a lot of ill will coming into Deshaun Watson's future. So I'm hoping it's Shadur, but I really don't think it matters. This is a team that's going to screw around and go 6-11 because the talent on the roster is really good outside of the quarterback position. So they won't get the guy they want, or they'll have to give up additional assets to trade for the guy they want in the draft because Cleveland can't have anything nice.
In the long line of horrific Cleveland starting quarterbacks, who is your favorite of the worst?
Oh, God. We don't have enough time to talk about that.
Give me one name. One name.
Brady Quinn.
No. Ooh,
Brady Quinn's a good one.
No.
That's a good one.
Perhaps worse than that. Okay. That didn't go as I planned. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
See you, guys.
See ya. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.